One great Father's Day tradition, Sunday at the U.S. Open. And this year, so many storylines, whether it's a back-to-back U.S. Open winner or somebody else tying the scoring record at 63. A lot to talk about. Phil Mickelson on the weekend to talk about the U.S. Open there at Shinnecock. We bring in Mark Canizero from the New York Post. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lori. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So tell me, with all the different possibilities, what will be your headline, your focus for your story tomorrow for the New York Post?
Well, it's funny. I'm actually driving back to the city from Eastern Long Island, and I've been listening to your show and a couple of your conversations with some of the listeners. And obviously, it's funny. Yesterday, the entire theme of the day was all about, Phil Mickelson's meltdown on 13 and, the poor job the USGA did setting up the golf course and kind of losing those two holes, 13 and 15, messing up the greens and, making them unplayable. And Brooks Koepka today just kind of made everybody forget about all that stuff, which is kind of cool. But, and that's what it's all about is who's going to win this thing. And, it's funny. I don't think I barely mentioned Koepka all week, really. He's such an under-the-radar personality anyway. He obviously has amazing talent. He won the U.S. Open last year. And mm-hmm. He hit the ball a mile. But this is a guy that was out for 4 months this year with a wrist injury. Didn't play that much. He's been in halfway decent form leading in here. But again, I don't think anybody really expected him to come in and repeat. And he kind of hung around all week, and there he was, after all the carnage yesterday, within striking distance. And today he just played so much better and so much steadier than everybody else on the golf course. When there were a lot of opportunities out there, he shot 2 under par on a Sunday at the U.S. Open. He deserved to win. I mean, it was, what I wrote a column on for tomorrow's Post was just the U.S. Open and all the demands it puts on your mind and your physical game. It fits perfectly. Brooks Koepka's personality and just this whole vibe fits that championship because he's just kind of a real even keel, flat line guy with, who doesn't get upset about a lot of stuff. And, it showed today. I mean, Dustin Johnson, I thought, had a great chance today mm-hmm. to go out and take this thing. And he was paired with Brooks and, just couldn't get it going with the putter, and he just kind of didn't really have the same game on Saturday and Sunday that he had on Thursday and Friday when he had the 36 hole lead. So, to me, the theme is just Koepka's entire personality and the way he goes about his business just fits kind of conquering a U.S. Open challenge, which is again as you saw yesterday. It broke a lot of players, including Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Is that I'd never thought of it exactly that way, but that there is a U.S. Open kind of personality that the demands and here is the USGA 1 week a year saying to the players, we're going to make these golf courses play in ways that you're going to shoot over par. You may very well shoot over par. And it will be very humbling, and it's a certain kind of personality that can handle that. And what does it say that Phil Mickelson, who's had such a successful career, obviously, and won majors, that the one tournament that has eluded him has been the U.S. Open?
I really feel like what happened yesterday on 13, Lori, was I think everything kind of came crashing down on Phil. I mean, it was clearly a meltdown. He wants to win this championship so badly. I know from speaking to him earlier in the week, he felt like he was hitting the ball really well, striking the ball really well, was hitting fairways, which is something Phil doesn't usually do on such a regular basis. And the fact that it wasn't translating into scores and moving up the leaderboard, partially because of the fact that his short game wasn't as good as it usually is, and partially because of the fact that the course was set up in some pretty extreme conditions on Saturday. And I just think he just kind of snapped on that hole. And it was a very rare occurrence. I know you were kind of, you tossed out your take when you had a caller about an hour ago when I was listening. I in the aftermath of that whole thing, to be honest with you, I feel like the cover-up to me was a little bit more egregious than the crime. I mean, everybody's allowed to snap, but I didn't like the way Phil handled it afterward. I wanted to hear Phil pretty much say, look, you know what, I lost my composure. I want this championship so badly. I've come so close so many times. I feel like I'm playing well, and it just hasn't translated the score, or however you put it. Instead, you know, he kind of had this convoluted take about how he knew the rule, and he was taking advantage of just taking the two-shot penalty. Well, it didn't really fly, because frankly, had he taken an unplayable, you know, if he wanted to just do that, he just could have taken an unplayable lie. It would have been a one-stroke penalty, you know, one-stroke, you know, dock there, so to speak. So it just didn't really make sense the way he put it.
I thought he ended up coming across kind of as the golf equivalent of J.R. Smith in that moment, where the explanation sort of changes over time and 24 hours later and all of that, and it sort of keeps changing. Yeah. So
I'm not sure if it was as brain dead as J.R. Smith's take, but you know, Phil sometimes, and I'm a huge Phil supporter. I know him well. I've covered him for years. You know, sometimes, you know, Phil's a real smart guy, and he wants to be the smartest guy in the room. And I feel like, to some degree, he was trying to prove a point there a little bit. Like, hey, listen, I knew the rule. But I also, everything Phil does is very calculated and has it for a reason. Now, it's hard to say that was calculated because it happened so quickly. But, Phil was at the forefront of really not being happy with the way the USGA put that golf course on the edge, as were a lot of other players. But Phil is one of the guys who's not afraid to speak his mind, while the other guys will kind of sit back and let him take the lead, so to speak. So that's kind of what happened there, in my opinion. And I just wish Phil had just kind of, you know, said it like it was and said, look, you know, I snapped. It wasn't my best moment. You know, I want to move on. It was no disrespect to the tournament, but I just had a moment. We all have moments.
Yeah, I think his there was an interview I read on Sunday with his wife, Amy, and she essentially says that. What you would have wanted Phil to have said, I think Amy sort of says that, and sounds like that's her take on what happened.
I actually had texted with Phil last night, and he actually did use that exact thing. He said it wasn't his best moment. You know, he was kind of explaining how he had called Mike Davis, the USGA's executive director, to say basically, look, you know, if I broke a rule, I want to be disqualified. I don't want to play if I broke a rule. And the USGA determined that he hadn't broken the rule, and moved on. But and in the last part of his text to me was, you know, not my best moment. he knew it. I just wish he said that publicly. I think he would have come off a lot better.
So talking to Mark Canasero from the Post about Shinnecock and the U.S. Open. Is this what the USGA, the U.S. Golf Association, is this really, though, what they want when they set up a golf course and they end up, you know, yeah, so Saturday Phil Mickelson snaps, but meanwhile there was no Jordan Spieth, no Rory McIlroy, no Tiger Woods, that some of the biggest names in the game, and you can say with Tiger, all right, his game has been up and down, but Rory and Jordan Spieth, that when you end up with some of the biggest stars not making the cut, is that what the USGA wants?
Well, it certainly isn't. And, you know, that's a very, you know, it's a difficult question. I mean, let's put it this way. These guys didn't play, you know, these guys didn't play well enough to make the cut. So, while other guys did. So,
sure.
Did they not make the cut because
the golf course was crazy?
I mean,
not?
You know, obviously they didn't handle it well. But what I will say is, and this is what really surprised me, and it was a column that I wrote for today's paper, with, you know, for our listeners here, you know, in 2004, the last time the U.S. Open was at Shinnecock, the USGA, in their own admission afterwards, lost control of the golf course, particularly the seventh hole, which is a par three, to the point where they literally had to water it after a few groups went through and had triple bogeys and never hit bad. So, and that, I mean, frankly, the shame of that, Retief Goosen ended up winning that U.S. Open. And everybody remembers that U.S. Open, not for Retief Goosen winning it, or whomever would have won it, but they remember it for the USGA screwing it up, completely losing the golf course and botching it up. And so you'd think, coming into this week back at Shinnecock, that if the USGA was going to err on any side, it would have erred on the side of caution and made the course much more playable, even if it yielded, you know, some better scores than it would have wanted, so to speak. So that was stunning to me, to see how they had that thing set up and to put it on such an edge on Saturday that they did end up losing those two greens and causing that issue. Now, is that the reason that Spieth and Day and Rory didn't make the cut? I don't know, you know, but, you know, it doesn't help. And you know what? To a larger picture, Lori, and this maybe is a debate for the listeners tonight when they call in, you know, do people really like to watch that kind of golf? I mean, I know there's a certain faction of fan that likes to see these guys struggle like we all do, us mid-high handicappers or whatever. You know, but I kind of feel like people want to see birdies and players do great things. And if you're at the golf course, you want roars. You know, at Augusta on Saturday, traditionally, the Masters sets up that golf course on Saturday for birdies. I mean, the pins are set in bowls. They want roars there, and that's exciting golf. And that, you know, it doesn't mean everybody's going to shoot 20 under par. There's nothing wrong if somebody wins the U.S. Open at 8 or 9 under par. That's just not an insult. It doesn't have to be one over like today. So, in my opinion, I think the more fans want to see, you know, more birdie opportunities and more excitement. And so I think in that way, the USGA sets it up to the point where it's such a grind. I'm not sure it's that enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I am one of those people that I kind of like to watch them, a little schadenfreude there and like them struggle to watch them struggle a little bit, not to this extent. I'm with you. I think if somebody shoots 4 under, 5 under, 6 under for the tournament, I think, the USGA should be able to live with that. Safe travels home, my friend. We'll catch up with you soon. Mark Canisero from the New York Post, thanks for staying up with us.
Thanks for having me on, Lori. Talk to you soon.